chapter 27, focusing on Paul's voyage to Rome and the advice and the counsel that he gave those that were steering the ship with regards to a storm that he could foresee was going to take place. And in Acts 27, from verse number 9 onwards, which is the text that we looked at, the Bible says much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Paul advised them, and we spoke about apostolic advice and also perception. He said, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster, much loss not only of the cargo and ship, but also also our lives." So the perception that Paul had as a servant of the Lord was that this journey was going to end in disaster. And so we spoke about advice and perception that we must have in order to avoid the Euroclidans in our lives. Verse 11 is a text that we focused on as well, that the centurion was more persuaded by the captain or the helmsman and the owner of the ship, rather than the things spoken by Paul. And I spoke to you about the spirit of mammon. And oftentimes our decision making is driven by the spirit of mammon, not by the leading of the Holy Spirit, or not by perceiving wise counsel that we receive. In our last session, our focus was on verse number 12, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, because the harbor was not suitable to winter in. And we shared how this harbor was regarded as fair havens or good harbor, and it was regarded as not suitable or something that would be inconvenient, unfit, uncomfortable, not appropriate. And we shared many examples from scriptures of inconvenient, uncomfortable, inappropriate circumstances that many people found themselves in, and how it was used for their protection and also for their destiny to be unfolded. So you can go back and listen to the message. It's available on the app. We also shared with you that the port which they were docked in is a picture of a church, and how in the journey of life we as vessels, and you know, in a great house there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, but I used the word vessels to describe different kinds of ships that come in for servicing, like oil vessels, cargo vessels, fishing vessels, bulk carriers, cruise liners, tugboats, all come to the port to be serviced. And the picture that we have to keep in our mind is the port is a picture of a church. And when you come in to be serviced, you receive cargo to go on your journey. But this port was regarded as not suitable to winter in. And sometimes church may not be suitable according to the view of the world, or the perception that the world has of church. But it has the cargo, it has the merchandise that can well equip you to handle the storms of life or the journey in life. So we want to return to Acts 27 and verse 12, the second part of it. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. So the next thing that we see here is that the centurion was firstly motivated by the helmsman and the owner of the ship, which is the spirit of mammon. He did not heed the advice and counsel of Paul primarily because of familiarity or seeing Paul as a prisoner rather than as an apostle of Christ. And also they felt that the port was not suitable. It was inconvenient, uncomfortable, inappropriate to winter in. It probably didn't have all the resources that they felt they needed. But they were also advised by the majority. So the majority did not want to stay there. So you can see that this journey was motivated by listening to the voice of the majority rather than listening to the voice of Paul the apostle. Now, the voice of the majority will oftentimes rule over the voice of God, or the voice that comes to us in the form of a servant of God. And Paul's advice was disregarded, and the advice of the majority was listened to. So what we don't realize is many times when we listen to the voice of the majority, you are going to head into a very, very big storm in your life. Because majority is governed by democracy, and it is not governed by theocracy or doctrine or the word of God. And here's the choice you have to make. Here's the choice you have to make. Is it the voice of the majority that you want to listen to, or the voice of maturity? There's a big difference. You can listen to the voice of the majority, or you can listen to a mature voice that can help you to avoid the Euroclidons of life. A lot of people are saying that 2021 is the year of making the right choices. And I agree with that to a certain extent. And the choice that you have to make in the context of the message that I'm sharing with you today is, if you want to listen to the voice of the majority, and I'll bring some definition to that now and give you a few examples as well, or do you want to have a mature voice that comes through the word of God? Now, the mature voice is not necessarily just listening to your pastor or your spiritual father, etc. The mature voice is the voice that must be developed deep inside of you to perceive the internal unctions of the Spirit, so that you are able to make the right decisions in life. So to shift away from the voice of the majority, it is incumbent on us to develop the voice of maturity, to be able to perceive that God is telling us something, so that we can avoid the disasters that we sometimes find ourselves in. Now, when you talk about the voice of the majority, you are talking about a congregational voice or a congregational governing order that would vote out the voice of God. Psalms 22 verse 16, which is a prophetic psalm also about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The psalmist writes in verse 16, "For dogs have surrounded me," the description of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Now, that is the voice of the majority that was ready to crucify Christ, to crucify the Son of God. So here's what you need to know. As the Son of God, one of your ultimate decisions is to be obedient to the voice of God in whichever form it comes to you. And the voice of the congregation, and the congregation, don't just limit that meaning of the word congregation just to church, but the voice of the congregation is the voice of maturity, or those that can influence you and silence the voice of the Son of God inside of you to make the right decision. That's why in Exodus chapter 23, under the law, God said to Moses in Exodus 23 verse 2, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." So the voice of majority can sometimes seem like it wants justice, but actually it has a wicked and evil intention to pervert justice. I have my views about certain movements which I cannot share on this platform, but if I talk to you personally, I can share it with you. But you don't know that sometimes the crowd that you see that everyone is following becomes idolized, yet its intent is very evil because people don't read manifestos. They don't read the intention. They don't read what people want to achieve through their movements. They just go with the voice of the majority because it appeals to sentiment, emotional, it appeals to the emotional side of our being without having reasoning and understanding and without a doctrinal premise. And therefore, the voice of maturity has to begin to develop in us so that we don't just follow the majority. Now, let me say something else. When we talk about majority, it is not necessarily large numbers. The voice of the majority is the voice of persons or person that is most influential. So even in your own life, when we talk about the voice of the majority, I'm not talking about a large number of people that are influencing you to do something. The voice of the majority is the voice that is the most influential voice to you that can possibly make you to move in a certain direction, can change the course of life or sort of lead you into a particular path. So don't think about the voice of the majority just as large numbers, but think about it as the most influential voice in your life. So when you look at that, Korah in the book of Numbers chapter 16 verse 1 to 2 took 250 influential leaders to motivate a rebellion against Aaron and Moses. I'll read it for you in Numbers 16 verse 1 to 2. Now Korah the son of Izhar, they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation. Listen carefully, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. So these were people of influence within the congregation that could stir up the majority against Moses and against Aaron to lead a rebellion against them. So understand, the voice of the majority is not necessarily a large number, but a people that have influence over the lives of other people and can motivate them to move in a certain direction, in this case, to rebel against Moses and Aaron. In the same way, you have to ask yourself, what voices are motivating you to make certain decisions? And those voices become the influential voice, and we would categorize that as the voice of the majority in your life. So it's not necessarily a large number of people, but the voice that has influence over you. As you know, Rebecca, the mother of Jacob, had influence over his life to deceive his brother out of his birthright. Let me read it for you in Genesis 27, verse 5. Now, Rebecca was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. That's called eavesdropping. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebecca spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.'" Verse 8, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you." So Rebecca's voice was influential over Jacob to do something in order to receive the blessing from his father. So that is an influential voice. So we know that this is a very common Indian problem where sons listen to their mothers. So all of the wives, I know you all are listening to me at the moment. And we can see that this is not a new problem. This is quite an ancient problem where the son is still listening to his mother because that is an influential voice in their lives. So sometimes the decisions are motivated by the most influential voice in your life. And And it can motivate you to do things that is detrimental to the life of someone else and detrimental to certain relationships, because that voice is a motivating voice in your life. We all know that Jezebel was a very influential voice in the life of Ahab, and that is because she had ensured that the voice of God had been cut off when she when she massacred the prophets of the Lord. And in 1 Kings 18 verse 4, Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, but Obadiah had taken 100 prophets, had hidden them 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. And we know that Obadiah was relating to Elijah how he had protected the prophets. But Jezebel's influence in King Ahab's life is seen even in 1 Kings 21, when she said to him, his wife said to him, "You exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them. So this is the voice of Jezebel that was prevailing in Ahab's life, who was the king of Israel. But it was an influential voice that, to the point, was cutting off the voice of God, which was the prophets of God that she had massacred. So you can see that it's not necessarily a large number when we talk about the majority. We're talking about what is the influential voice. Now, don't forget that the context of our series is, how do I avoid the Euroclydon of life? How do I avoid the hurricane and the storms that we sometimes face? Because when we give heed to the voice that is influential in our lives, be it even a singular person that has no doctrinal foundation, where the advice does not come from the counsel of God's word, but is motivated by familiarity, sentiment, emotion, etc., then you are going to head for disasters. I have had to deal with many marriage problems because of the voice of parents that keep influencing the marriage in some way or the other. The voice keeps influencing the marriage partner, the spouse in the marriage, and therefore they, after 1 or 2 years or 3 years in the marriage, they always having these problems, because that influential voice that has played a very important role in a person's life for years and years and years starts to have its effect in the marriage, until we start to mature in understanding that the voice of God must prevail over that influential voice. King Ahaziah was influenced by his mother Athaliah. In 2 Chronicles 22 verse 2 to 4, Ahaziah was 42 years old. This is not a young man. He's a guy who's mature. This is not a young boy. He's 42 years old. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. To his destruction. So the voice of Athaliah and counselors from the house of Ahab had wicked intentions and advised King Ahaziah to his destruction. So sometimes that voice that you have been listening to for a long time might seem that the intention is clean, but it can advise you to your destruction. Excuse me. Aaron was influenced by the voice of the majority to make gods while Moses was on the mountain. Exodus 32 verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron. and said to him, Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this man Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron started getting motivated by the voice of the congregation or the majority, not realizing that in making gods, he was violating commandments that God had given to them. And Moses, who was the leader, who was on the mountain, because he was absent, the people started to put pressure on Aaron, and he gave in to their demands to make gods. I tell you, the majority always want to worship other gods. They will always force you to worship gods of this world, idolatrous gods. It will force you to make idolatrous images, because that's the voice of the majority. People do not understand how an idol comes into being. They do not understand how you can inadvertently, some subconsciously, be worshiping something that is not in the heart of God, because you are too swayed by the majority. So be careful what you are reading and watching and following on social media without doing a proper investigation doctrinally, spiritually, to see what spirit is motivating those things. Because you can be easily bowing down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar without knowing it. And when the flute is blown, some of you that watch soccer, you'll know when the whistle is blown, certain things have to happen. But people don't know how they can idolize something. It becomes just a part of your nature, but you are being trained to worship other gods without knowing it. So we must be very aware that the majority want us to follow other gods. They want us to follow certain gods. Now, Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who came back with a positive report, were overpowered by the 10 spies who came back with a negative report. And the congregation listened to the 10 spies. And they spoke to the children in Numbers 14, verse 6 to, to 10, excuse me. Verse 7, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, The land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good, etc., etc. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord, or fear against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread, their protection has departed from them. Verse 10, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. As you can see, Joshua and Caleb's voice were drowned out by the majority. But it is proven later on that only Joshua and Caleb and that generation entered into the promised land, while the rest of that same congregation died in the wilderness. Okay? So I gave you just a few examples, there are many, many more, of the voice of the majority or the most influential voice that can cause you to head into a hurricane, can head into a storm, because we are unperceptive of how influential that voice is in our lives. Now, when you think about the voice, you are thinking about the voice of the majority, you are also thinking about the voice of the multitude or the voice of the crowd. And in the New Testament, there are many examples of the crowd or the multitudes that followed Jesus. And the one thing you got to know is that the crowd will always choose Barabbas. They will not choose Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's in Mark 15:15. And Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus. Barabbas was a convicted felon. He was in prison, yet the crowd wanted Barabbas to be released. So you can see that the crowd is seeking for justice, which is mob justice, not seeking for righteousness. There's a difference. So when you're following a crowd, you must ask yourself, does it have a righteous intent or is it just mob justice? Oftentimes you watch when politicians go to court or go to trial or appear before commissions, etc. You have large crowds that come up to support them. And they are supporting injustice because they say, no, they want justice for that individual. But that is the mentality of the crowd. There's no justice in what they want. For us that are in the kingdom of God, you have to ask yourself the voice or the most influential voice in your life, which would be regarded as a voice that can sway you to make certain decisions. Is it a righteous intent? Does it have a righteous value attached to it? Is there truth that is in that voice that's coming to you? The second thing about the crowd mentality is they resist climbing mountains. Jesus would often go into the mountain to be set apart from the multitudes. So these are people that don't like to ascend, because at the pool of Bethesda, you find there was a large multitude of sick people waiting for the moving of the water, and they did not have helping others on their mind. They only had overtaking on their mind. They wanted to overtake everyone else to get into the water first. That's a crowd mentality. And you see that when you go to any sale, in any store where the crowd is there, no one is interested in your well-being. They will trample over you to get what they want because they have an overtaking mentality. Just like all those people that were at the pool of Bethesda, where they just wanted to get in before everyone else. So obviously this were not a bunch of saved people that understood the love of Christ and could also understand verses like you should see for the well-being of your brother before yourself, etc. These were people that just had overtaking on their mind. They just wanted to trample anyone to get in first. The crowd mentality is always resistant to leadership. I gave you an example of how the people rose against Moses and Aaron, but also when David was in a situation where everything was taken from them in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6. In Ziklag, when they came back, their wives and all their resources were taken. The Bibles will tell you that David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Now, what does that mean? They were emotionally charged and distressed. Every man for his son and his daughter. And they basically now they want to stone their leader. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. This is the mentality of a crowd. They get emotionally charged and now want to stone the leader. Even in Numbers 2 to 4, they say, let us select a leader and return to Egypt, emotionally charged. They now want to resist the leadership that brought them out and become angry with the leadership. This is the mentality of the majority. The majority always walk by sight. They walk by sight. Jesus would often tell the people, you followed me because of the bread that I gave you and because of the signs and the wonders that you saw, not because I am the bread of life. That means they walked by sight. They were driven by what they see. And yes, people are driven by what they see because they are natural. First the natural, then the spiritual. People will get attracted to what they see. This is one of the reasons why we maintain excellence, because people are attracted by what they see. They're attracted to your appearance. They're attracted to your car. They're attracted to your wealth. They're attracted to the way you carry yourself, because people walk by sight. But it's the mentality of the crowd. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that those people will stand with you because they are driven by sight. No, the same people shouted, "Crucify him," because they are driven by sight. So you can see many examples of the mentality of the crowd, or the majority, or the multitudes, or the voice of influence in your life. And how often those voices prevail over the voice of God. That's why I say to you, it is the voice of the majority versus the voice of the mature, or the maturity. Now, Gideon's army was 32,000 strong when he started. That was a huge army. And the Lord said to him that this is not the number that I want you to take into battle. And they had to go through certain tests. As you know, the first test was the test of fear, or the fear test. And Judges 7:3 says, "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is faithful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead." And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. So you can see, out of the 32,000, 22,000 disappeared, and only 10,000 remained after the test of fear, because God said, if they are fearful, let them depart. The second test God said to Gideon was, "I want you to take all the people to the water." Judges 7 verse 4. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go." And he gave him specific instruction that those who lap water like the dog will not be allowed, and those who bring the water to their mouth will be allowed to go. So the water is a picture of the word of God, and the majority of the people had no faith in the word of God, because those that brought the word to their mouth, that means they basically drank of the word or ate of the word, they were chosen. And it was only 300. Now, that is less than 1% of the original number. Of 32,000, only 300 were able to fight the battle. And you know, the battle was against the Midianites. And the Midianites are a picture of contention and strife, and brings a lot of strain into our lives. But only 1% could fight that battle. And that 1% was because they had faith in the word of God. You see, majority are driven by might and power, but they are not driven by faith in the word of God. So, if you do the numbers, you have to understand that in church, in general, less than 1% really have faith in the word of God. You must believe that the word of God must stand above everything else, because that is what will give you a mature voice in your life. People who don't love the word and don't love to listen to the word, they're going to fall into that 99% who will fall by the wayside. But those that can battle against a Midianite spirit, it's because they have an intense love for God's word. So we need to understand today, that the influential voice in our lives must be undergirded by a strong word base. Now, in this time that we have been apart, you have had nothing else to listen to but the Word of God. There were all the other things that we are used to in church has been removed. So God's instruction to us is coming very clearly that you need to return to your first love. And your first love must be the Word of God. This must be the prevailing voice in your life. Whether it's a marital problem, a financial problem, a medical problem, even emotion, depression, sadness, grief, death, the Word of God must be the final authority in your life. You can blame God, you can throw your toys out of the cot, you can grumble, you can complain, like the nation of Israel did, but the final authority must be God's Word in your life. This is a true test of our faith in the Word. When you listen to a voice, listen to the Word. Don't listen to the personality. Listen to the Word. And when you take that Word, you drink it, you make it a part of your life, you practice it, you obey it, you will see that God will defeat all your enemies. You will be able to go through the valley of the shadow of death because his rod and his staff is able to comfort you. So, develop the voice of maturity in your life. Don't let the voice of majority prevail. As we read in this particular portion of scripture, that the majority advised to set sail. They were against the voice of maturity that was in Paul the Apostle, and they set sail only to end in great disaster. Verse 13 of Acts 27 tells us that when they decided to leave, a south wind was blowing softly. And when that started to happen, they said, we made the right decision. Because thinking to have obtained their purpose, lifted the anchor, and they sailed along close beside Crete. Now, here's what happened. They decided to sail, and a wind started to blow, basically giving the boat impetus to start moving. And they said, well, we made the right decision. Thank you. Thank God we didn't listen to Paul, because, if we listened to him, we would have still been stuck in that inconvenient place, that inappropriate place, place that was not right for us to stay in, a place that was not suitable. So the fact that we have moved on, we can see now that we have obtained our purpose because we listen to the voice of the majority. So I want to talk to you more about that next week. Oftentimes when you don't heed the voice of God, certain things will go right. Everything will seem like it is going in the right direction and that you made the right decision. And it will seem as though you have obtained your purpose. And I'll give you a few examples of that from the scriptures as well, only for you to end up in disaster later on. So today, develop the voice of maturity in your life so that you don't give heed to the voice of the majority. God bless you.